This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome to a wet Wednesday. This is the Red Men Daily News brought to you by the Mitchell Brothers and anything else that you want to call us. I'm just going to call Jack Fabinho. Jack, welcome to the show. What else have you been called this week?
Plenty of names, but I don't know whether I can say them out loud on this show. But yeah, it's good going bald though. We're talking obviously before going on air. I prefer it. I got out of the shower today. Didn't have to do anything with my hair. Don't have to wear a cap to hide the monstrosities under it. So I don't mind it. It might be a look that I go for a long time, Ross. I don't know about you.
Mate, you just look like Fabinho to me. Anyway, we're here for some news. We've got plenty of stuff to get through, some transfer bits, some stuff on the return of football. We're going to start off with a bit of transfer news, Jack, and this is coming from The Echo, who have cited HITC and RMC Sport. Hasim Awar, his price has been slashed. Liverpool are very interested in signing Leon midfielder Hasim Awar, but are yet to make a contact about a move, claims a report. The 21-year-old has hit 9 goals and 7 assists this season. He's capable of playing centrally, out wide, or as a number 10, and will bring real creativity to Jurgen Klopp's side. This is someone that we spoke about before. Jack, I think Chris did a show with David Maddock months and months ago. Like, I've got no perception of time anymore, but it was just months ago. And he said he was someone that Liverpool were interested in, someone that he'd be very surprised if they weren't looking at. And again, just from that report there, okay, there might not be much substance to it, but in terms of his age, if the price has come down, as it may have done with a lot of footballers during this pandemic, the versatility of the guy as well, he ticks all these boxes. And I think as fans, we kind of look at players now, when we do our research, we go, well, he's not versatile and he's not this age and he's not this price and stuff, like, it can't be true. Whereas he's someone that does tick all those boxes.
Yeah, absolutely, Ross. He's very young. He's just 21. His numbers, it's very easy to see why he's catching the eyes of many clubs across the world. But as you say, he ticks all the right boxes for Jurgen Klopp. He's 21 years old. He's versatile. He can play in numerous different positions. He's a creative player who gets the numbers that he's got. It's just, as you say, it's very difficult at the minute to talk about these sort of rumours when we're hearing that the Werner deal is in doubt because of all the coronavirus stuff, and we just don't know what's going on at the moment. But it's interesting because I think at the start of obviously all this coronavirus stuff, I was drawn to it because I believe it was Dave Maddock who put an article out at the time of it saying that we were interested in Awar and Werner, but now, of course, we might struggle with everything going on. But I think he's a player, as you say, that definitely fits the bill and would be a player that I'd be delighted to see in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, it also depends on the departure of the people. And we spoke about this week already, and we will done Red Teams late, like Harry Wilson, what happens with him, Jurgen Shaqiri, Divock Origi, they kind of make way for players like Awar and others to come in. But of course, Jack, it wouldn't be a Red Men news show if we didn't talk about Timo Werner. You've already just mentioned him there. But apparently clubs have 12 days to trigger his release clause. Apparently Liverpool and Chelsea rumours have stepped up over the past 2 days to trigger his £49 million release clause at Leipzig. The German has been prolific this season, has been looking to move away from the Bundesliga. So we've got till June the 15th. And again, you've just mentioned there, Jack, about David Maddock. He did an article last week or the week before, and basically said Liverpool are at the race for Timo Werner. And I urge people to take that with a pinch of salt because, it happens all the time. And it's just, as someone tweeted in the replies, it's all part of the dance. You know, we've seen Liverpool do this with, like, Danny Ward's going to be Liverpool's number one goalkeeper. We were in for Alisson all along. Liverpool aren't interested in Virgil van Dijk. We were in for him all along. You know, Timo Werner, these rumours have been going on for months. It's almost as bad as the Nabil Fekir stuff, dare I say it, of, you know, it's all part and parcel of Liverpool trying to do a deal, trying to barter. You both just mentioned there about, you know, the prices in the market now. What does that mean for Liverpool now? What does it mean for Leipzig? Does that give Liverpool room to bargain? We all know Michael Edwards is capable of getting a decent deal. And it's just a big game of chess, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's more the case of not us ending our interest. I think we're having to be patient with everything going on at the minute. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone next week or when Werner's release clause is over. You know, we're in a difficult position, just like every club right now, and we can't strike too soon because the first signing is going to set a precedent for the rest of the market. And I think a lot of clubs are probably hoping with their financial situation right now that this refreshes the market and actually, you know, the first signing will trigger that costs come down and players cost less and maybe wages even come down too. So it's going to be very interesting. I don't think we'll activate his release clause in the next 12 days. I really don't. And as you say, I've seen Chelsea rumours intensify over the last couple of days, and I don't know whether that's because maybe they're thinking if they need to get in, they need to match the release clause and that's when they need to strike because Liverpool won't be interested then. And can they sort of persuade Werner to move before we do?
It could also be, sorry, Jack, it could be the agent of Timo Werner.
Yeah.
Excuse me, it could be Leipzig putting stories out to put pressure on Liverpool. You know, again, it's all part of the deal, isn't it?
This is the thing. We all know Timo Werner wants to move to Liverpool. We all know that he wants to come to the Premier League, and Liverpool is his preferred destination. And him and his agent and Leipzig will be doing everything they possibly can to try and get Liverpool to strike as early as possible. But I don't believe that we will anytime soon. I think we will, but not anytime soon. I think we'll wait for this all to be over and get the season done before we get any deal announced or even ready. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch and keep our eyes on, but I don't think Timo Werner is going to happen soon.
Yeah, it's also interesting, not just for the pressure, the financial side, but like the PR side. I think it might have been Sam Walker, I might be wrong on that, who said it last week, you know, it's not a good look for clubs to go out and spend, you know, 40, 50 million on players, you know, when there's, again, Liverpool attempted to furlough the staff, or use the furlough scheme themselves, you know what I mean, and there's other stuff going on. So, you know, you've got to be careful what you do in the market. So it'll be interesting to see.
I do think it will happen. I just think we need to be patient. And that's something that I think is going to be very key during all of this. And like we've had to be patient to get our title this year, we're going to have to be patient when it comes to Timo Werner as well.
Yeah, we are. Moving on, Paul Joyce, the gospel of everything, tweeted yesterday, Everton are hopeful the Merseyside derby with Liverpool will be staged at Goodison Park. The club has now requested Liverpool City Council's safety advisory group is convened and meeting likely to take place next week. We should find out about more of this tomorrow because there's the Premier League meeting, Jack. And it was interesting because Jurgen Klopp did an interview with Kelly Cates on Five Live yesterday and they put a social clip out. And he basically said, you know, his words were, we've had the green light from Merseyside Police. So I think it's up to the governing bodies, you know, the Premier League and the FA to kind of decide of what goes forward with this. But what's your opinion on this? And I'd love to know the people who are listening or watching, are your thoughts of, like, are you bothered whether it's a Goodison Park or not? Or, you know, I don't think it's just that. I think it's more the case of they've selected some of the games to be at neutral venues. And for me, it's an old words in your mouth. It's have them all at neutral venues or have them all at the home games.
Yeah, there's been a domination of hypocrisy during all of this, Ross, where, you know, the word integrity has been spoken about a lot and especially by the bottom five clubs during this. And obviously the neutral venues thing was a big talking point during this whole process and quickly scrapped when the bottom five moaned and said that they wanted relegation scrapped if that was the case. I get it. Of course, I get it. I get why they're saying that with these key games, there is an element of risk. There is a tiny bit of risk. And therefore, they're slightly against it. However, it would be absolutely morally wrong, and that word integrity will come up again, if they're to just pick certain games to be played in neutral venues. That goes completely against integrity. And it's interesting that the bottom five clubs that were moaning that now aren't involved in these games in neutral venues are now very quiet with that word integrity because it doesn't involve them. It does annoy me because obviously the biggest thing is if Man City are to lose to Arsenal in that first game back, we could win the league at Goodison Park, which would be a massive thing for our football club. And then for it to be played at a neutral venue, it's just wrong, and I don't really particularly agree with it. And I did a show on Redmond Academy at the time where I was a very, very annoyed person at the time. But it's just annoying because, like Jürgen Klopp says, we can win it anywhere. Winning it's the main thing. But to have it winning it in at Goodison Park, or even to win it at Anfield or at the Etihad when we play Man City, they're big moments, and big moments for our football club, whether fans are in the ground to watch it or not. It's about where you win it, and you know, sticking two fingers up at the club we win it against, whether it be Everton or Man City. So.
Someone made a great comment last week on one of the news shows. Said, "What happens if we beat Everton at Old Trafford? If Old Trafford was the neutral venue, I mean, that's just the ultimate piss boiling thing." So, in that sense, I think we'd be fine with doing that, wouldn't we?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news: ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it'd be very weird if like win the league against Everton, but it's at Wembley. And you know, I'm not saying that, you know, if we win the league against Everton, that's a big thing in itself. But to win it against Everton at Goodison Park would be even better. So, you know, I am desperate for them to be played in the right grounds, and I think that's the fairest thing to do. So I hope that Merseyside Police and everyone involved in this does allow it to happen.
Yeah, good. Moving on, another one from Paul Joyce. Liverpool agreed to let Harry Wilson extend Bournemouth loan into July. Harry Wilson will remain at Bournemouth and help their battle to beat the drop after Liverpool agreed to extend his loan until the end of the season. It feels like a bit like a non-story, this chap, but I brought it up anyway because I thought of the bigger picture of, you know, Harry Wilson. I said before, like, you know, we did a news show, Reds News Roundup last week on Jurgen Shakir and his future. And, you know, we talk about Minamino coming into the fold, Chamberlain, we've got all these midfielders, Lallana's going to go. Like, Harry Wilson, like, never gets mentioned, you know. Like, you've obviously watched him a bit because he's been alone and stuff like that. But, like, do you think he's got a future in this Liverpool side?
No. In all honesty, I don't think so. I think he's shown this season exactly what we want him to show, and that's getting his market value up. I don't think he's good enough for our squad. He brings something different, don't get me wrong, but I think there's just something that doesn't fit with me for Harry Wilson. And I think what he's done at Bournemouth this season has increased his value, and we'll get us more money for him. And I think that'll be it. And maybe that money that we get for Harry Wilson will go towards Timo Werner. We don't know, but
I think what he wants as well, isn't it, Jack? Because I think if he comes to Liverpool, like, you know, the challenge is going to be greater. But he's playing regular football for Bournemouth. He did really well at Hull as well. You know, wherever he's been, like, he can't do much more to try and prove himself. You know, he's done well. But again, I think you're right. I think, you know, you look at players that, you know, Adam Lallana or people like that. You know, this Liverpool side's the way they were going has surpassed players like that, and that's not a disservice to Harry Wilson. It's just you can't try and fit in to this Liverpool side, which is incredible.
He's young, he's fresh, and he's perfect for a club like Bournemouth. And there's going to be so many Premier League clubs that want Harry Wilson, and that's the thing. There's going to be an abundance of Premier League clubs that are ready to give Harry Wilson regular first team football. And I think for him at such a young, ripe age, that may be something that he's interested in. We've seen this season how important his goals have been for Bournemouth. He's helping them. Well, he's trying to help them stay up, and he's going to be very important. And I think this is why this one's made the news, because he's an important player for Bournemouth. If Bournemouth want to stay up, Harry Wilson is going to be an important player for them, and his goals this season have already been very important for them. Yeah. We also know the sort of player that can score from any position. He can score a free kick, he can score from a dead ball situation when Bournemouth aren't really expecting it or aren't forcing it. They may be under the cosh, and then he scores a free kick. So
that's a perfect summary of Harry Wilson. Went to a pre-season game this year, and I'd literally turn around to Tom, like, the only player who's not doing anything for me is Harry Wilson. And literally 3 seconds later, he scored a screamer against Lyon. So it just shows what he's capable of. And I think it kind of falls into that Coutinho thing of scoring them screamers and having something else in the locker. But I think, you know, there's still expectancy on Naby Keita is going to come good. Chamberlain, again, you know, this recovery period has been good for him to get back to kind of full fitness and regain that. So, you know, you think of competition for places for Harry Wilson, that I struggle to see him fitting into the side. Just two more bits before we get to some of your comments. Today, the Liverpool Football Club is 128 years old, which is incredible. I just wanted to know the people at home. Your earliest memories of Liverpool Football Club, your favourite memories of Liverpool Football Club, get them all in the comments below. If you're watching this on Facebook, I'll get to them as well, or on Twitter. And if you're watching it on YouTube, get them all in, and I'll reply to them at some point later today. The final story, Jack, is Jurgen Klopp is preparing to shock his Liverpool players for the return of the Premier League. Hang on, I'm going to get an advert on this. Jurgen Klopp says his Liverpool players might be in for a shock when the Premier League resumes and empty stadiums, because they'll have nowhere to hide from his shouts. It's an interesting story, Jack, because I think, you know, empty stadiums, we don't really hear much, you can't really see what's going on. Most of the time, I bet the players can't even hear the bosses, or, you know, you've got the options to kind of turn a deaf ear to, like, you know, Anfield's dead loud, I can't hear what you're screaming at me. But, you know, Jurgen Klopp, he's going to have these players pumped up and ready to go, and, you know, crowd or not, and whether the TV cameras can hear or not, I think he just strikes me as a man who doesn't really care. In that sense, he's, you know, he's getting the job done and kind of screw everybody else.
That's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, Ross. I'm looking forward to hearing Klopp shout from the touchline. It's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say during the match. But I think it's very interesting. We've seen, obviously, the clip on Twitter going around of him shouting, "Play football!" Yeah. In a match, and I think it's going to be very interesting to hear. And that's not just Jurgen Klopp, but lots of different managers, Pep Guardiola, and you know, it's going to be interesting to listen to these managers and hearing the instructions to the players during the game. And I think it's been good in the German league. We've heard shouts from the benches, but obviously my German isn't very good, so I haven't been able to understand. But when it comes to English I think it brings in a tactical element as well, because obviously the opposition players are going to hear it a lot more.
Yeah,
so that's another side of it. We've seen in Germany they've used the masks as well on the bench to sort of hide what they've been saying. So it's going to be interesting, but it is one thing I'm looking forward to, hearing Klopp bellowing from the sideline.
Well, you might not hear it on the TV, Jack, because the reports earlier this week said they're going to use FIFA 20 sounds on these things, so we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, let's get to some of your comments. We've got two on the hair. Michael Walker says Wright said Fred had been reformed. Fucking hell. Thanks. Benji March says watching these two is reminding me to buy a pack of eggs. You're welcome. On Timo Werner, let's move on very quickly. Rob D says, given the virus situation, let's miss the release clause date and then get him cheaper in the summer, which I think is what Liverpool are planning to do. Johnny Walker says, Werner's in the bag, just like number 19 is. We need to start looking at additional signs to improve and increase squad quality and depth so we do better in cup competitions. Just signing Werner isn't enough. That's probably something I agree with, Jack. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, if Alana goes, you know, if Werner comes in, what does that mean for Shaqiri? What does it mean for Divock Origi? You know, there's lots of these places that are kind of up for grabs, and I kind of agree with that. You know, there's a lot of football being played. They've had this big break. You think of the intensity. We don't know when next season's going to start yet. So, you know, what's the break? Their actual break going to be like in between seasons, going into more competitions? You know, adding that depth, I think, is really important. And I know there's the addition of Curtis Jones as kind of had a breakthrough season, so you can probably include him. Neco Williams, you can probably include him in there as well. Harvey Elliott, kind of borderline, what I wouldn't see him as like a 13 squad member and stuff like that. But it's important to kind of go into the market. And, you know, I think Liverpool are pretty proactive, aren't they? you know, when it comes to making signings?
Definitely. There's been some talk of us not making a signing because of obviously the whole coronavirus stuff. But I think that'd be difficult because then that's two summer transfer windows on the bounce that we've not made any signings. And as you say, there's more competitions these days to compete in. And Jurgen Klopp has already said that he's not happy with the amount of football that's being played. And then, as you say, there's a smaller pre-season possibly, and then you've got AFCON coming into it, and the Euros next summer, and the World Cup in 2022. So we're going to need more players, and if we've got a lot of players heading for the exit door, we're going to need to get some more in. As I do think, as you mentioned, Curtis Jones, Neco Williams, Harvey Elliott need to be included in the first team squad next season, and we'll get more first team minutes. But if you've got three or four going out, then we need two or three or even four coming in as well to make sure that we can maintain playing very well across a lot of competitions.
Yeah, there's also Minamino, who we haven't mentioned in there. You know, he's in there as well, but I do agree we do need some more. Last one on Team of Verne, Stephen Somerville says, if Liverpool really want him, like they say they do, they have to act within these days to get it done. This side needs goals next season so they can, the front three can get a rest at some point. Do you know what, ultimately, Jack, I do agree with that, because there's a slight danger of the Chelsea rumours, whether they're true or not. You know, as soon as Chelsea, if they could got them, they've got the money. You know what I mean? They've got like the Hazard money still to spend. You know what I mean? And obviously they're in the same situation. But you know, if they need a forward, they just go right sound. We're going to go and do that. There's a danger Liverpool might miss out.
Yeah, I think it comes down to a point where we're desperate for Timo Werner. I think he's our prime target this summer, but I think also Timo Werner is definite in the fact that he wants to join Liverpool as well. So I think it changes the point. We don't have to rush to meet that release clause anymore because he's so desperate to join us that we can wait and get him for cheaper when all this coronavirus stuff has sort of got a bit quieter and things are looking better. So I don't think we need to rush, but that Chelsea thing does worry me a bit. But if Timo Werner is as desperate as he seems to join this club, then he'll be happy to wait till we're ready to strike.
Yeah, of course he will. On Harry Wilson, Stephen Somerville again says, if Wilson is looking at a future at Liverpool, now is the time for him to kick on and help Bournemouth and stay up in the Premier League as a goal scorer that he can be. If he can't, then he should just leave. Charlie Webster says, I think Wilson should just go to a club like Leicester. I think he'd fit in pretty well like that. And Brendan Rodgers is good working with younger players. And Ben Jamin says, if the stadiums are empty, it doesn't matter where the games are played. And it's something that I said yesterday, Jack, just before we go, of like, I can't go to the games. I can't go to the pub. I can't go to my mates and go and watch it. I can't go to my mum and dad's to go and watch the game. Like, so wherever the games are played, I'm sat at home watching it. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make any difference to me.
Yeah, I do get that. It sort of has an FA Cup semi-final sort of vibe, though, doesn't it? Where it's at Wembley, it's a big thing, but why? Why does it need to be, semi-final need to be at Wembley? It's one of them where at the end of the day, yes, it doesn't really matter. But it does matter because we won't be winning the Premier League at Anfield. We won't be winning our third Premier League at Goodison Park if we can do that. But at the same time, as you say, I think the main thing is a lot of things aren't the same as we wanted them to be. But ultimately, we're going to be winning number 19. So we've still got to appreciate that, whatever it is.
Yeah, and what a way to end the show there. Thank you very much for listening and for watching. Me and Jack are off to go and record a Right Said Fred track this afternoon. We'll be back on Friday with more Redman news, which will have all the reaction from the Premier League meeting on Thursday. So we'll see you then. Ta-ra.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be.
Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.